the family has to assume the responsibility, and I don't know how it can be brought about.
So in some sense, what we're talking about is that in ages past, when a man's word was his bond and agreements were made verbally and not with extensive contracts, etc., it seems we've lost our understanding of integrity and ethics and values, and in many respects that somehow our institutions have been inculcated with the institution is more powerful and more meaningful than human beings. And something has been lost in the process, and certainly the mythic past has much to teach us in that respect, doesn't it?
Yes, but just primary human decency. I mean, something happened after the Second World War. It really did. And out of my own experience, which is simply that of the academic world, we couldn't keep books in the library. In a small college, students are plundering the library, taking the books out. So now they've had to establish traps. So that the book has some piece of metal in it or something. They walk through something, there's a buzz, here's a kid stealing a book. That never happened before. That never happened before. And this indicates a basic loss of a sense of the individual as a member of a community. It's what have you done for me lately, you know?
Sad to say, this basic loss of the sense of the individual as the member of a community, as Joseph put it, persists today in the continuing problems of racial prejudice and other social ills. Ironically, Joseph Campbell, who spoke so eloquently to the need for finding a common ground among people of different cultures, has himself become the focus of a controversy revolving around charges of prejudice. In the fall of 1989, architecture critic and New Yorker columnist Brendan Gill wrote an essay in the New York Review of Books accusing Joseph Campbell of having made anti-Semitic remarks during the course of Gill's long acquaintance with Campbell. Though I cannot speak to what happened with Mr. Gill, personally, I can address the 13 years that I knew Professor Campbell, and at no time did I experience his being anti-Semitic. Nowhere in his voluminous record of published work, which includes extensive audio and video recordings, can one find any indication that he harbored such prejudice. Still, the controversy persists, like the problem of prejudice itself. What is perhaps most compelling about this situation, an illuminating paradox, if you will, is that, as you're about to hear, Campbell often urged his audience to recognize that we are not separate, that whatever our background, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, or whatever, we are, finally, one with each other. In the following passage from a talk he gave at a New Dimensions event in 1983, Joseph takes up Schopenhauer's question about what happens in a human being to produce acts of great personal heroism. His answer serves as a standard of tolerance and empathy that we can all aspire to.
Schopenhauer asks, what is it that breaks through when that happens? And his answer is, this is a metaphysical realization. This is the sudden realization that you and that other are one. We are all of the one life, the one consciousness, and not only we, human beings, but we're one with the rabbits and the trees and all of that. And the experience of separateness in space is simply a function of the way our consciousness works. But we have another level of consciousness that knows this other thing. You and the other are one. Most of us, living most of the time, forget the values of that other side. The problem is to bring the two in balance. And you know, one recognizes this, that one and the other are one. And it's the principle of love, which is the principle of, in the Kundalini, the heart chakra, where you hear the sound of Om, that sound of the radiance of God that shines and resounds in all things. When that is experienced, then the self-protection thing falls away. Now, it's easy to stand up and talk spiritually and religiously about we're all one and forget that there's another set of requirements, namely that we're many as well. And then it's easy to talk about being many and how we have to defend this, that, and the other and forget that we're all one. The problem of transformation of consciousness consists in giving in each situation the values that are proper to the two points of view. This is not easy.
Indeed, it is not easy. But we may hope that with perseverance and compassion and commitment, we will yet unlearn prejudice and come to experience ourselves as a worldwide human community in the spirit of Joseph Campbell's vision.